Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Jason Ophir, joined with psychic medium Sherry, and thanks for taking the time out of this COVID pandemic to listen to us chat here on Paranormal Horizons. Sherry, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you, Jason?
I'm okay. I'm like self-quarantining as much as possible. Nothing exciting going on. I know we were talking a little bit before the show, and you shared with me some information that I had not heard, which was this fake news about some nurse crying. I think that you should share that before we get to the guests.
Yes, and it's interesting. I was seeing it in one of my Facebook feeds, and I, I'd like to keep an open mind. Like with me, I've got a lot of Libra in my sign, so I like to see balance and seeing all kinds of different sides of every view and things like that. And when I saw this, this is a YouTube. It says CBS News in trouble for posting fake video of crying nurse to spread panic and fear. And so I don't know what the tagline, but CBS News is in trouble for posting fake video of crying nurse to spread panic and fear. As you open it, they had a lot of views. I saw it myself, and it's like she's crying because she's a nurse and there's no PPE protection. She's really upset because, the industry, they don't have any means of protecting themselves. They don't have any type of safety and blah, blah, blah. And so towards the end, the guy does a commentary, and he's looking. He did some research, and he found out that she wasn't a current nurse. So he said when he found out, he said she had an Instagram. She goes by a different name, had an Instagram, and I'm not sure, and don't quote me on it, but I think they suspect she used to be an Instagram model. And so that's how he says, I don't know how she got her money, but apparently she was just, crying and everything, and people were believing her. A lot of views. I don't know how many views, a lot of views. And then towards the end, he says, when you did her research, she went back to work after being laid off for a whole year as a nurse, went back. She couldn't handle it. And so anyway, he found out, he dug up on her Instagram a video of her. It was her. Irate and everything. She's talking about how, she just really, it's like from Jekyll to Hyde, from crying and having sympathy to almost like you wonder if there's some type of, I wouldn't say possession, but attachments that attached to her and just kind of gone off the deep end the way she was talking about. She was downplaying Corona, and she was kind of laughing at it in a very, very sadistic manner or something. So you got to check it out. Really do. It gives you an eye-opener of what's going on. Always research. And, I had a couple comments. People say, oh, yeah, my gut says fear-mongering. The other one person says fake. All the news channels are creating fear and panic among us. So I just want to share that with you. Just because you see it, don't believe it. You have to do some research and making sure that you can see all both sides of the coin.
Well, absolutely. There are many instances of the media creating fake news. It's everywhere. Everything from having production companies set up fake beheading executions and showing the video, reporting it as, you know, real news when it's all fake. And so many instances where the news has been caught faking stuff. And I, quite frankly, I don't know what to believe about this corona. I know personally, because I work in a hospital, I'll tell you right now, it's dead. I have some contacts in California hospitals. They're telling me the same thing. It's dead. And then I recently saw a video of a hospital in Brooklyn, and they were outside, and it's dead. So I don't know, you know, what the truth is, but it is kind of scary when you have these giant media conglomerates trying to incite and sustain panic and all that. It really makes you wonder what their end game is. What's the purpose of having us all freaking out?
Exactly. Well, further ado, I don't want to leave him holding, and we can talk about when Joe comes on. I mean, like, we're pretty flexible, but he's a regular great guest on our show, Paranormal Horizons, a beautiful soul, and proud to say he's a personal friend of mine. I have a lot of respect for him. He is a great storyteller. You know, he's just a wealth of information, and he has a wealth of experience in the paranormal. So we may bounce about all over the board, but tonight we're going to reintroduce our special guest, Joe Panohu from Hawaiian Hauntings. Hey, welcome, Joe.
Hi.
Hey, Joe.
Aloha. How's it?
Aloha.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you guys just fine.
Okay, good. So what do you think about this panic and fear? Let's get you in the conversation, too. What do you think about this stuff that's going on, and what's your feeling about what's happening with this coronavirus, either in Hawaii or just as general to see, you know, what's your idea on this?
there's a lot I have to say about it, but I'll keep it condensed, kind of. I work with a lot of mediums, with a lot of people who help out on cases, and, you know, they all have different gifts, but many of them have told me, some of which starting last year, that something big is on the horizon and something big is going to come. Another one, a good friend of mine, she works in the medical field as well. She's one of the most one of the most powerful mediums, you know, I work with. I have respect for all of them, but she's the one I've seen do absolute miracles, kind of thing. She told me a few months ago, before this whole thing became big and, you know, anywhere outside of China and stuff, that something is coming. Something is coming, and it's going to look like a battle between light and dark, good and evil, and that I need to get ready for it because a lot of people are going to be asking for help. But it's not a battle with ghosts and demons and that kind of stuff like I'm used to. It's a battle of everybody. It's a battle within yourself, balancing the two, the good and the evil. And it's facing things, it's drawing out poison kind of thing, re-breaking the bone to set it right and let it heal again. It's a lot of facing our own deep fears. And this alone, in many people, will cause their own demons to come out. I experienced that with, I think I told you about that. I'm not sure if I told you on this stuff, but we had a case where my friend had like a possession kind of thing. And this was occurring for years. And I could not figure heads or tails of this thing. We kept being led to a dead end. This girl would just usually at the same place we go to in the forest, called Judd Trail or Morgan's Corner, things would happen. Like, she would completely go emotional. She'd completely start sobbing and crying and not know what's going on, to the point sometimes where she loses consciousness and recollection. And this isn't a girl that I know her personally, but she does not lie, or she's not dramatic in the least. She likes to listen and learn and that kind of stuff. She's very collected. Her emotions are 100% under her control that I've ever seen. There's no fear. There's nothing. And I've watched her lose it, and I've watched her turn into something else, and we've even recorded some of it. You know, luckily we're going ghost hunting. My friend has a recorder when this whole thing is going on, and we can witness this whole thing. Well, Sherry, I believe you were the one that helped her husband, suggesting, of all things, black salt. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yes, I know. It was Corey.
Yes.
I did a reading on Corey and did my Chinese medicine on him. I did actually it was a combination of a psychic and mediumship, and then I also did the Chinese medicine because I'm a practitioner in Chinese medicine. That is correct.
Yeah. The interesting part of that was that I didn't know anything about black salt until maybe a month before when I met my friend Jamie from Louisiana. So she was mentioning black salt, and it kind of piqued my interest. I'm like, oh, okay, interesting. And then here it came up again. They came to me, and they're like, okay, Sherry said we need black salt. And I'm like, oh, boy, that's like voodoo stuff, right? You know, but it's not like that at all. But
no,
for me, I'm
all.
A fan of, yeah, it's not at all. Salt helps mm-hmm. with spirits and attachments. So I figure, you know, they usually have charcoal. My friend, I believe she burns her sage and then mixes it with salt and makes her black salt like that. Sage and frankincense and, you know, Palo Santo, that kind of thing. But for me, this brother was Hawaiian, so I'm like, we got to make it Hawaiian. So I grabbed the tea leaves we use for blessings and stuff. I burned that, and I mixed the black salt with that, and I ended up giving it to them in Thanksgiving. They came by. They put it into three little necklaces, like the for ashes for your loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
So they put it in a little pendant around and hung it around their neck. And I get a call as soon as they get home. She's sobbing and having this emotional attack, which is consistent of what has been happening to her that I've seen. This is like the first stage of it, that she'll completely just get all emotional, sob and cry like she's feeling something else's emotions and something else takes a hold of her kind of thing. And it happened as soon as she put it on. So I drove over there and I checked it out. She took the necklace off and she was calm and collected. When I got there, she put it back on and she started crying and crying and crying and crying again. And it was very, you know, and I'm talking to her, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking like, what the heck? This thing has only happened to her at that place. And then now with this necklace, with the black salt I made. And I'm talking, when I made this black salt, I prayed to Michael, the archangel. You know, I prayed when I was burning the tea leaves. I prayed when I was mashing it up. I had his prayer on YouTube on loop while I was mashing it up and preparing it and grinding it with the mortar and pestle and all of that. This thing was potent, right? And I'm like, how is she reacting so badly to it? Well, talking to a few people later, found out that what had happened was the attachment was in her, and the black salt shook it out. It shook it out of her, and it was trying to get back in. So we had her, while she was at work, on a lunch break, wear the necklace. And we were on a, and she was freaking out. And so me and my other two friends, we all got on a messenger chat because she's freaking out. She's like, I need help. Her necklace was burning her neck. You know, the thing that goes around her neck, it was burning her neck. It was making her sick. It was making her back sore. It was doing everything that it could to make her take it off. But something kept telling me, no, 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 leave it on. This is detoxing. This is pulling it from you. And that's exactly what it did. You know, so
what is black salt? Like, what is it?
It's just charcoal and sea salt, Jason. It's used to really dispel any type of dark stuff. I mean, really heavy duty stuff. June uses it. June Lundgren. She uses that stuff. But you know, the black salt was something I suggested when I did the reading for Corey, because I already knew before I was going into the reading that there was something going on with her. But she, you know, she's attracting that stuff. You know, it's not that she says, you know, come on out. You know, she's inviting it in. It's just her body and who she is. She attracts that stuff. So, yeah, the black salt will help. It will help dispel any type of things that are going on with the person. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's crazy.
I couldn't help her.
That's just out of my realm. As a psychic medium, that's not something I want to delve into or anything like that. I help people, not hauntings and attachments and demons and things like that or any entity. Mm-hmm. So that's more than I want to deal with myself personally. But that's what the black salt is, Jason. You can mix it up. And I mixed mine up. Mine was given to me, I mixed it up to where I thought would really help. And I wear it every time I try and do a reading. So.
It selectively dispels negative, bad entities, bad attachments. Salt is a good cure-all for protection against spirits and stuff like that, but this specifically targets negative entities, you know. Other entities as well to keep it away, but this stuff is more potent because it's a mixture. I mean, I'm trying to find the whole thing. I mean, I did a little post in my group, and I was looking up, like, the chemical makeup, and my friend bought me the history of salt and the book about the history of salt and what it's used for, the chemical composition, so we could see if we can alter it in any form, because I'm thinking about how to accentuate its protective qualities if I could find out what about it. It protects people and repels spirits. Right?
Did you find
deep into this stuff.
Joe, have you found out anything that only to me is holding that intention and high vibration to that object? You know, when people say you have to have it blessed, I mean, this is just me. When somebody says you got to have a priest bless the water, you know, just so that make it holy and everything, it's like, you know what? I used to think that you have to rely on other sources. Oh, my gosh, I need to have a priest. What happens if I don't have a priest? I'm going to be damned or I'm going to be really screwed. No, I'm finding out it's your intentions. You can say the same prayer just as much as, the priest or anybody else, and still your intentions is going to have the same effect. So you don't need so-called a person, you know, that is supposedly is trained. It's all in the intention. What about you? You think that, Joe?
The benefit I would say a priest has, and I'm referring to Catholic priests, I can bless water and call it holy water, and it's my intention that's blessing it, but it's mixed with me, my essence. Now, a priest, when you go to like a clergy, they dedicate, it would be like if I were to become celibate, if I were to fast, if I were to pray every day, if I were to spend my entire life just helping other people. You know, that would make it more potent, but that's not me. I do things to help myself. I have kids, you know, we have fighting, we have arguments sometimes, and it's life, right? A priest doesn't usually have these kind of things. So I can do it, and it'll be good enough for me, but by having a priest with all of this, with the spiritual, like even like a kahuna, a Hawaiian priest, you know, they practice celibacy, they practice fasting, they practice, their spiritual level is on a different, their spiritual vibration is on a higher level than mine. And so although mine would work, theirs would be more potent, you see?
Wow, and speaking of that, I just spoke to my cousin. She's my first cousin. Her mother and my dad are brothers and sisters, so she's my first cousin. She's lived her life since she was 18. Old as a Catholic nun, and she's almost 8 years old. She became a doctor. She's been a doctor for about 40 years, and I just spoke to her just before, maybe about 45 minutes before the show came on tonight, and she's from New Jersey, so you're talking about a person who's Asian, Chinese, full-blooded Chinese. She's a Catholic nun, and she has a New Jersey accent. I can have her bless it. Oh my gosh! I just talked to her for about 45 minutes. She lives her life with God. As she's a Catholic nun since she was 18, and she's almost 8, or like closer to 80 now.
But you see the benefits of that, right? Let me tie it back into what we were talking about earlier, real fast, with the girl with the black salt. I lose myself on tangents. Come to find out what her problem was, is this was introducing this whole idea to me. She has to work a lot to support her family. Unfortunately, the husband has an illness. you know, the husband cannot really work and has to take care of other things and the kids and all of this stuff. So this girl, my friend, you know, they're in a rough situation, and there's a lot of negative feelings towards it, not towards anybody, but towards the situation. A lot of despair, a lot of, you know, it's not fair kind of thing, that she has to pull doubles and overtime just to make ends meet. And all of this stuff has been adding up and adding up and adding up. And this was the reason for her attachment. And this was how her attachment manifested. And so the best way to heal, this is what brought it to light, but she needed to do the healing. She can wear the black belt all she wants, but this healing needs to be done first, you know. And it's nothing that anybody can do. I can't go over there. A priest can't go over there, you know, throw some holy water on you and you're all good. This is a self, this is going into yourself, finding out what's wrong, coming to peace with it. This is facing yourself, which I've done several times, and I'll tell you, it doesn't get any easier. It's not easy to face yourself, face your faults. This is what people are having to go through with this coronavirus thing. You know, and a lot of people aren't trying not to. They're ignoring it. They're doing whatever they want, trying to pretend life is normal. And then there are people who are completely locked up for a month in their own house with their families or by themselves. And my gosh, that's just the amount of reflecting that you can do is just something else. This is a time where we need to heal. This is a time where we need to raise our vibrations. I wanted to add one more thing, too. My friend Doug really put things into perspective for me. He crosses over souls, like plenty, like millions kind of thing. And he told me about a year or two ago that his job was done, that all the souls were crossed over from the past and all of that stuff. And it occurred to me when he told me that there weren't a lot of the cases, and he's in Chicago. I'm in Hawaii. The cases with attachments really stopped. It wasn't a ghost haunting people as much as it was people's own faults, people's own, their own self-image is what's causing the attachment. You know, they're insecure, or I work at the state hospital, the mental hospital, and their illness and their society's labeling of them, if they hear voices, make them horrible, and it's like, They see themselves as trash. They see themselves as worthless. And because of this, things prey on them. But if they have the confidence and the self-confidence, and if they were happy, this whole spiritual thing wouldn't happen. I took my, I was at work. I had this guy who was just like yelling and kicking and screaming all night. I don't know if I told you on this one or not. It was about a month ago. And he was just all night long throwing things, assaultive, you know, old man, so it's not too bad. But at one point he said something, and he looked at me and he's like, "Michael, nothing." And I'm like, I didn't even mention Michael the Archangel. And he looks at me and I'm like, this is not all illness. So I went to a break and I brought my Michael the Archangel pendant out. And as he was yelling at me, I took it out of my pocket, just held it in my hand. He didn't even see me take it out of my pocket. And his eyes rolled back, and he fell back onto the bed and started snoring instantaneously. I stuck it back in my pocket. He woke up, started yelling and screaming again. I took it out, and he went back to sleep again. And this continued for the duration of the shift. He got used to it, but just being in the presence of the Michael the Archangel medallion that I have was enough to make him woozy. It took all the wind out of his sails. I mean, He would get up and he would try to swing, but he had like no energy at that point. Until I put it back in my pocket, then he'd go again, you know. But then I noticed too, he had an illness on top of that, because when I had the thing out, he was still delusional. He was still acting like this and acting like that, but the anger and the violence was gone, and so was the mania that was fueling him, perhaps, you know. So it's a mixture of both, and it's a psychological thing mixed with spirits that attach to you because of your psychological problems. It's really hard to diagnose. It's really hard to find out what area in your life you need to, you know, make better, it's a tough situation. But I think that this coronavirus is shifting the balance, because the universe, and I've been told this by many people too, specifically the universe's vibration has gone up. It's raised, and that we must raise with it. And that's what it's forcing us to do right now. Sorry, talk. Here, go ahead.
Personally, if you're very mindful where you're at, you know, the people you hang out with, people, places, and things, you know, people, places, and play toys. If you kind of hang out with people that are delving into this, you're, you know, more likely to attract that kind of stuff. If you don't, you try and keep your vibration high, and you're aware of it, but you're, you know, you kind of not attract those things or look for things like that, I think that you're not going to. But just being aware, I think that's a lot of it. And even as a paranormal consultant, when I used to be a paranormal consultant for the two teams, you know, it is something it taught me. And with my experience of really witnessing an exorcism and things like that, it really taught me that, you know, where do I want to be? It, like you said, makes you turn inward. Where do you want to be? Do you want to, you know, do you enjoy doing this? Or, you know, you have to look at doing some soul searching. And with the help of, you know, my the ancient ones, the Native Americans that live on my land, I've been able to raise my vibration and have an understanding that this is not where I want to be. I want to continue to serve people in a heart and soul level than looking at the paranormal aspect of helping people. And it's not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that for me, that's not where my heart and my soul is. So. But, no, we all there to do, you know, our place, have our own place in helping people, and it's just being aware of it. So, and knowing what to do once you have those things.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jason, what do you think about this stuff?
I'm just trying to survive this whole COVID. My vibration, I think, probably the COVID is bringing my vibration down.
You know, that's really what it is. I mean, here we are, and we look at conspiracy theory. We could talk about next week. But here we are in fear and panic. You're not supposed to go out. I mean, it's like, oh, my gosh, are you serious? So I understand that, you know. But, yeah, I was asking my cousin tonight, you know, the one that's 80 years old, and asked her, I said, hey, Dolores, what do you think? Are we going to go into a depression? Seriously, she says, absolutely. We're going to go into a deep depression. That's what the old-timers keep on saying. We're going to go into a deep depression economically.
Well, oh, yeah.
I just read that one of the U.S.'s largest pork producers shut down, so y'all better get out there and start hoarding, like, bacon and ham versus toilet paper and hand sanitizer, because if more of these large food corporations go down, we're going to be hurting. We're going to have, like, some serious shortages.
You're talking about the, like,
how
the
do
one
food
that,
corporations go down? Everyone buys
armor
tons
pork.
Of food.
Well, some of these processing plants, one of the largest pork processing plants shut down because they have a rash of COVID positive employees. So if the chain breaks, I'm just wondering how bad this is going to get. Are we going to start having certain foods that are hard to get? And so I plan to stock up on Spam and stuff like that, because you never know where this is going to go. This could just keep going downhill and downhill and downhill, and in 2 months, we're going to be in a really rough spot.
Yeah.
or could get better, and whatever, who knows.
It will, but it'll take years.
Yeah,
we jumped back from 9/11, but it took a decade, right?
Yeah. I guess if we can come back from 9/11, we can come back from anything.
Crazy. Yeah, so lines and lines. My husband was reading earlier that people are lined up, you know, a quarter mile in certain areas. I don't know where, but I wasn't paying attention. But, yeah, it's pretty interesting how the people are going into food banks, lines and lines, because so many people are out of work.
Mm. Yeah, it's,
well,
it's,
we'll see how the government handles this and all that, you know. A lot of it depends on that. on how, yeah, on how this whole situation gets handled. We're going to bounce back.
Yeah.
It's going to take time.
At least we're all getting checks, or at least a lot of people are getting checks, probably next week.
Mm-hmm.
Show me the money. Of course, it won't do any good if money's not worth anything if the whole system collapses, but I guess I'm kind of a pessimist.
Well, you know what, Jason? I'm going to go along with you, too, because the money, $1,200, or this one or two times, it's not going to pay for your mortgage. It's not going to pay for long-term of, you know, if you have to pay health insurance and things like that. So, you know, when you look at $1,200, yeah, that's a lot of money for that time, but how long is that going to last? And if your mortgage is $2,000, how you know, that's not going to get you out of where you need to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a little Band-Aid, but, you know, we don't know how deep the cut is yet.
Well, things are so slow at my hospital. I mean, they're talking about asking me to go home because the hospital only really needs me when they're busy. So, which wouldn't be too, I guess, a bad thing if I had to go on unemployment since, well, now I could actually make more money on unemployment significantly than actually working. So I think that should be my goal, get on unemployment.
Yeah, that's. As long as the government
isn't that
really
that,
a lot of people.
Jason, how about ICU?
What about ICU?
Has it been busy in your hospital where you work?
Oh, God, no. No, man. It's our, you know, busyness has gone down by at least 60%. It's the same thing in California, the people that I talk to. People are too – see, before, people go to the hospital because they stub their toe or they have a little rash on their wrist. Every little thing, people run to the ER. But now people are actually afraid to go to the ER. So no one's going to the hospital. Surgeries are canceled unless it's important. You know, it's a ghost town, respectively, to the way it was before.
That's not how it's portrayed on the media.
No, not at all. That's, I mean,
even
be
down
a different
here,
story.
My friend works at the hospital, and she's like, quiet. And then you hear the news, and it's like, we're about to open the convention center. They're standing by for when our hospitals start getting full and overcrowded and all of that stuff. And it's like, wow, the hospitals are at capacity, you know? It's like, but they're not.
So now we know Oregon, Hawaii, California. I mean, granted, those aren't the hardest hit places. But it really, what's the agenda to keep people in a panic? I don't understand why the media, like, why is that important? Why do they want us to be freaking out?
Well,
there has to be something behind
that. Oh, of course. I see it now. I try to stay away from conspiracies and all of this, but I read it and I see it as a possibility. I'm not running around saying this is exactly what it is, but think about 9/11. 9/11, we basically begged the government to take away our rights and our freedom, you know, to make us feel safer. Air travel got 10 times harder to do. You know, I remember my dad's a flight attendant. He used to be able to walk right up to the gate to see him when he came in. And now, once again, we are begging, like myself personally, begging the mayor and the governor to put us all into lockdown because everybody is scared to take away our rights. Now we have a curfew. We have a nighttime curfew. If anybody is out after 11 o'clock, between 11 and 5, I think it is, you get ticketed unless you get, like, you get busted unless you are an essential employee with a sticker or a letter. You know, we're begging the government to crack down on us and take away our rights. We're begging them to just do everything for us. Now, this is what politicians want. I mean, it's not what we want, but they're making us think this is what we want. You know, we want them to hand out all the food to us that we need to survive. We want them to regulate the toilet paper to make sure one person doesn't buy a year's supply every time they go to the store. You know, we're screaming for the government to regulate all of this and regulate all of this and make our lives even more inconvenient. I think that's one of the things that a lot of people are saying is what is happening, you know.
Is that in Hawaii?
Away from conspiracy. What's that?
Is that in Hawaii right now, the curfew?
Yeah, they just stated it Thursday.
Oh,
they're
my
giving
God.
It, they say they're giving it a test run. Now, the ironic part of it is you can't drive after curfew, but you can still walk. We have funny laws over here. Stay in your house. This is quarantine. But you can exercise on the beach, but the cops will give you a ticket if you're sitting down on the beach and you're not exercising. But you cannot go on the sand. If you're in the water, they can't ticket you. It's like, what? So you have to jog in the water if you want to get exercise and go to the beach. Otherwise, you get not a ticket, not a fine, but you get summoned. You know, the police chief went over everything, and it's just, I love the police chief, but I find it just ridiculous. It's like, I mean, I guess in Hawaii, you can't have jurisdiction of the water if you're the government. You can drink alcoholic beverages in the water, but not on the beach. You know, you can't park on the beach, so what everybody does is they park across the street on the road and go to the beach and stay in the water. The cops come down the road, everybody jumps in the water, you know.
Wow.
They go back up to the beach.
That's,
and then everybody at home is, you know, watching the news. So there's like 500 people on the beach, and it's like, what the hell am I doing at home? You know, why am I doing this and social distancing when you have all these people living life like nothing is happening? It's a 2-week mandatory quarantine for anybody coming to the island. They're sending people home already. No tourists. Pretty much. I think we have like 100 a day coming in, and a lot of them are being sent home because it's like you have to go straight to the hotel and quarantine yourself in your hotel room for 2 weeks, and you have to get food delivered to you, and that's it. You can't leave your hotel room for 2 weeks. Come to Hawaii. Great for vacation, right?
What's stopping people from just leaving the hotel room?
They take like if you leave the hotel room, they call the hotel room every couple hours or randomly to make sure you're at the hotel room. Also, your license plate for your rental car is logged with HPD. I think they alluded to that because some people got busted on Kauai for that. They left the airport and went straight to the grocery store, and they got busted. They got arrested and had to bail themselves out of jail for going to the grocery store on the way to their hotel.
Oh. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy, all right. Wow. I don't know. Boy.
Well, I got vacation coming up. And I can't do anything. I have vacation coming up. The coast and everything's closed. So I'll just be sitting in my basement for 10 days.
I am really shocked that you guys are not busy. Providence Hospital is big. I mean, I'm really shocked that it's dead. It's crazy.
It's not just my hospital. It's the entire system. It just, like I said, it just makes me think that we're just being fed a ton of lies.
Would it be anything new?
Go ahead.
I read this book, Justice Killings. My friend Carolyn bought it for me. And it covers the whole Massey case. I'm not going to go into the Massey case, but this was in the 1920s and 1930s and stuff. And the main thing about this whole case is how the media portrayed it nationwide. The media painted a picture, and the Navy guy here, it's all politics. The Navy guy here wanted Hawaii to be like Washington, D.C., where we didn't elect our governor. It was appointed kind of thing, you know, that kind of stuff. So because the white people and the powerful people were now a minority compared to the Japanese, Chinese, Hawaiian community, right, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was he painted a picture. He was telegraphing the whole, you know, all the newspapers and stuff, showing them footages of training exercises, saying that the Navy people or the military people in Hawaii, if you're white, you are barricaded onto the base with natives randomly running at you and trying to kill you and attack you, you know, and that no woman is safe. It was about a sexual assault case that the guy didn't even do, but ended up being killed for it. And the murderer knew after he, the judge, the trial said he didn't do it. She killed him, and she was found guilty and sentenced to 1 hour of having tea with the governor and sent home. That's it in a nutshell. But the whole nation was screaming for justice to be done. They were screaming for this Hawaiian man to be murdered because the media painted the picture. And I'm a storyteller. I can appreciate how you paint a picture with words. You know, I can make people scared. I can make people happy and laugh. I can, you know, if we're at a scary place, I can make them more scared, or ease it too scary kind of thing. I can draw them back, or, you know, entertain. However, that's what the news is doing. That's what the media was doing. And it was owned by one or two people, every media station nationwide. And that was their collective agenda, because they wanted people to see them. They wanted people to turn on the radio and listen to it. You know, that's
being a good storyteller is like having a superpower. Hmm?
Yeah.
Being a good
sometimes.
You can really freak the kids out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could turn a scary ghost story funny, too. I don't like to scare people as much, but sometimes people like being scared, so I'll comply.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they have all those tents that they're building for that, you know, New York and different places. And I was reading too that they're not even filled up. They're starting to, you know, kind of the overload. They're starting to put some people in those tents. But would they spend all that money to build that? And they're not using it.
Yeah. Or they just have the money and they say they're doing it, but they're not. I mean, we had a chain link fence over here, the state hospital built, because a guy, an inmate from the mental hospital, escaped and ran to California. So they built a chain link fence. He didn't escape. He was allowed to leave and come back at like 7 or 8 p.m. He just didn't come back. But according to the media, he escaped. And so everybody was like, we need to make sure they don't. So they spent $17 million building a chain link fence. That fence costs not even $100,000. I will look at that right now and say $100,000 is on the high end of it. I don't know what the $17 million was for. That's probably what's happening to the hospitals and all that stuff too. That's why I don't watch the news too much. It's just propaganda. Turn on the news and they're talking about something completely different, and they show people walking through subways. They show people coughing on each other in a buffet line. You know, the newscaster is telling a story about a girl, and behind him on his computer monitor, there's a coronavirus on the screensaver changing and looking really scary. And it's all subliminal messaging and advertisements. It's telling us to be afraid. Don't forget about this. You know, it's like, I can see what they're doing, you know, and it's just like, yeah.
Okay, Sherry, it's time to go
off
the grid. It
drives me crazy.
Jason, do you really feel that it is as bad as it really is, or it's just people just need to be aware and take the precautionary measures? Do you feel that there should be quarantine? What's your feeling on that, Jason?
Well, if I was running the show, I do believe there is a concern. I wouldn't shut everything down. On the extreme side, I'd probably just make wearing masks mandatory out in public, but keep the majority of the businesses open. But we're not hit really hard here in Oregon. So, you know, it'd be interesting to be in New York to see what things are really going on over there. But I think it's extreme. I think that they don't take into account the damage of shutting everything down. You're going to have increased domestic abuse. There's already that. Increased suicide. There's already that. I mean, either way you look at it, people are going to die. And finding the balance of being safe from the virus to not destroying lives, it's a really fine line.
Mm-hmm.
That's my 2 cents on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would do the same thing. I don't criticize because I don't have a better alternative. you know, I was always told if you're going to criticize something, have a better alternative to offer. I'd be doing the same thing the government is. You know, to be honest, zero chances means zero infections, zero people dying from that. And I live with, we're all in the house now, me, my brother, my sister, my mom, and my dad, and they're in their 70s, you know. So we are taking no chances at all. We have been quarantined now for over a month in this house, driving each other crazy, but it's nice. You know, I mean, my son is with the mother, my little one-year-old boy, and it breaks my heart because I've seen him 3 times in the last 5 weeks. And one time he came, he was crying for dad, you know. And he comes over, they come over just to say hi. They usually just stay in the car and wave, and, you know, that's all. But he goes, he's crying for daddy, and I'm like, just take him out. I'll carry him because he's crying for daddy. And then it's like, well, heck, you know, they're not quarantining themselves that much. You know, it's, she's still got, the mom's still got to go to work, living with, you know, living with the sister, and they have contact with other people. It's like, if any of them get sick, the guilt, it's like, I'm the reason why my dad gets sick, because I wanted to hug my one-year-old son that was crying for me. Then I have to treat him like he's the plague and not touch him, or put on gloves and a mask to touch him, and then immediately jump in the shower after and wash my clothes. You know, this is psychologically torture, all of this kind of stuff. But this is what we're doing. Zero chances. We're not taking any chance that this thing will come in, that this thing will make people, well, this thing will make people sick. Because one person gets it in this house, everybody will get it in this house. And we can't afford to have even one person in my family die. So we're just playing it as safe as we can for now.
Are you, did you get involved in the panic buying? Are you all stocked up on supplies?
We're stocked up on supplies. So we still make grocery store runs once every 2 weeks, I think it is. But it's like we go like fully armored, you know, gloves, mask, long sleeve shirt, pants, everything. You know, I want to get one of those plague doctor's masks. Walk around. That will very much help with the social distancing, I'll tell you. Nobody will come near you.
Or like the 1400s? The pointy
thing? Yeah,
the
little bird beak thing. Yeah.
You put herbs in there? Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. What is it?
It was like the bubonic plague and, you know, the Black Death, that kind of stuff. If you look at pictures, you'll see these guys with this big broad-rimmed hat, big black robes all the way down to the ground, and this, like, mask that looks like it's a bird beak that probably extends about a good foot and a half, 2 feet out. They put,
wow,
like, herbs and stuff in the beak. Yeah, it's really creepy looking, you know?
It's awesome.
I swear to God, I want to buy one of those so bad, but it's to walk around, you know, with that at the grocery store.
It's funny because I just saw one for sale on Amazon when I was looking up masks, and I thought the same thing. That would just be really awesome just to walk down the road with that thing on. It is so creepy looking, Sherry. You got to look it up. It's really creepy.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Plague doctor, man. But yeah, I mean, I suggest everybody just take this time to deal with what needs to be done, to do what needs to be done. You know, I mean, we're given time for it, and we're either going to take the time for it or we're not going to take the time for it. Everybody always complains we're so busy. You know what I find funny is that so many people out there are saying they wish things would return back to the way they used to be. But when things were the way they used to be, they did nothing about it. They did nothing but complain about how things are. You know, their life was horrible. They were in poverty. They were broke. They struggled. They did this. They had crippling debt. They did that. And they want everything to go back that way. It's an opportunity to do something good with your life. I mean, heck, I would love to go to work. My God, I would just. They're letting you suspend all the payments for your loans, your car bill, all of that for 3 months, right? If I can do that for 3 months and work for 3 months, I can pay everything off one time, you know, or at least one or two of the bills off. That's a great thing to do. take all my bills, yeah, pay it towards my car. When this whole thing is done, my car will be paid off, and I'd have another $350 coming in a month to pay off my other bills, right?
I know some of the car insurance companies are giving discounts.
Yeah. What really scared me is when my son's school, he goes to a Baptist school, really great school, I got to say, but it's expensive. What kind of scared me and made this thing all that much more serious is that they are waiving the last 2 months of payment. And that's like $2,000-$3,000, you know. And if you had paid it before, they will reimburse you because everyone's going through financial difficulty. I mean, this is a really good school. But that scared me that this is kind of what the future is going to look like when you have institutes that are giving money back to people to help them. And the people that go to this school, they're not poverty. You know, they're pretty well off. My son has a lot of friends that are their parents are doctors and nurses and judges and neurosurgeons. And, you know, it's one of those like $18,000, $17,000 a year schools. So that these people are struggling and are planning to struggle is a little bit humbling. You know what I mean? I tell ghost stories. I'm not a neuroscientist or surgeon or anything.
So when they're forgiving you for a couple months, is that just something that you're going to have to pay back, or is it just like a free thing? You got like a free rent kind of thing without having to
pay? It's not. They're not prorating it. They're saying you don't have to pay this. And for those of you guys who did pay it, we're going to reimburse you. They're giving it to us.
Oh,
for free.
Wow.
That part was like, wow. It's not like, okay, well, and then they're like, and for next year, we'll take more money off the tuition. And if you need more help, we'll help you with that too. You know, it's like, oh, good Lord.
Hey, I'm curious. Are groceries super expensive in Hawaii?
Some of them are a bit more. Yeah. Depending where you are. Gallon of milk, I'd say about, I don't really shop that much, but I have been doing it a lot. $6-$7 a gallon.
Wow, that's a lot.
I've noticed that there's no deals anymore. There used to be things on sale all of the time, right? Eggs, milk, all of that. But now it's like, you don't need to make it on sale. Everyone's buying it anyway. So let's collect the extra money from it.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that expensive.
Yeah, price of living is all. Everything needs to be shipped down here, which is why if the shipping company ever stopped operating, we'd be in anarchy in 3 days. Complete anarchy. Just no toilet paper, no food. With over 1 million people on this island, it will be horrible if they cut off our supply of food and all of that stuff. Just for 3 days, it would just be, it would be terrible. We're so reliant on outside sources here.
That'd be a lot of people to live off the land, I would imagine, trying to live off the land in the ocean. The
problem is there's no land anymore. All the land is houses and apartments and parking lots, you know.
Well.
Is there a lot of homelessness right now, especially with this coronavirus? You see a lot of people that are really homeless more so than the last year, Joe?
I don't leave the house. I don't leave
the house. Okay.
You know, from what I hear, from what I hear, yeah.
Okay.
I hear there's still a lot of homeless people, and there's a lot of homeless people that are buying one-way tickets to Hawaii because it's cheap to ride out the whole coronavirus thing here. Problem is, they're being sent back as soon as they land. You know, it's funny. They're being sent back to L.A. or wherever they came from as soon as they land with no plans.
Well, I see we are running out of time. Is there, I can't remember, do you have a website where we could direct people if they want to contact you?
Not yet, working on that. But Facebook, there's a group, the group that we run is called Hawaiian Hauntings. You're welcome to join it. My name is Joe Funohu. You can message me if you need to get a hold of me. I answer all my messenger messages, all that stuff, Even Paranormal Horizons, you can get a hold of me through that on Facebook.
Very cool. Well, Joe, hey, I want to thank you for coming on like once again. It's I'm glad to have the Hawaiian update on the corona because I have no idea what happens over there.
Me neither.
Well, you know more than I do.
Yeah.
Well, we want
thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, I want to thank you. It's different for a change and talking about, you know, it's good to have you back and, you know, something different and, you know, kind of focus on something positive and we can look at it very realistically, but hopefully look at it from a positive way that hopefully things mm-hmm. are going to be coming together and we're going to be closer as far as our connections. There's a reason why, absolutely. But there are people that may not want to do the work either, so there's that other aspect. It's we just got to be able to try and mind our own business, but help people when we need to help people that are around us, that are close to us, and those that we can see could use any type of help, and just make the world a better place and take care of our own self.
Yeah, definitely.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, thank you again. And next week, it's going to be Jason and I. Jason and I, we're just going to have open lines. We're going to have open lines and just kind of banter with each other. It's been a while since we do that. But, yeah, life is good. And I'm going to be talking to my producer, and we're going to be ready to start up my radio show, Portals to Enlightenment, Your Journey of Body, Mind, and Spirit. We're going to kick that up again. Do half-an-hour shows, maybe once every week or once every other week, and we'll go from there. But in the meantime, anybody wants to get a hold of me, it's Psychic Medium Sherry at www.psychicmediumsherry.weebly.com, or you can get a hold of me on Facebook at Psychic Medium Sherry, C-H-E-R-I. Anyway, Jason, with further ado, until next week.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, if anybody wants to get a hold of me, well, you can't because I'm a ghost because the National Security Agency watches everything. It's a big conspiracy, Big Brother, and everything, so I stay below the radar as much as possible. But, hey, Joe, thanks again, and we'll have to get you back on soon and get an update from everything going on in Hawaii. And with that, I guess we'll close her out. Hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week and stay COVID-free. Good night, everyone.
Take care. Love and peace, guys. Bye.